Simple text. We all know it. We're all familiar with it. It's the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to go to, before we go there, let me pray real quick. God, we thank you for this time to gather. God, we thank you for this time to dive into your word. God, we ask that you remove self and replace with your Holy Spirit. God, replace and remove all nervousness, all anxiety, all tension. God, let it flow. Let this word flow in the hearts of your people. God, you've called them to this time to hear this word. Let it be tailor-made for them. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to your Bibles or your apps to Matthew chapter 6. Oh, let me thank Pastor Stan Evans for this opportunity as well. Thank you, Pastor Evans. Appreciate it. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to go start at verse 8 through 13. Here we go. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We all know the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to take my text and my sermon from just verse 11, Matthew 6 and 11. Give us this day our daily bread. That's where we're taking it from. Very, very familiar. We've learned this this prayer as a kid. When you first went up there and, you know, in my church, you know, you have to go up there. You sit in the chair, and the secretary came over, and she got your name and asked if you knew God, if you, you know, you wanted to accept him into your life. And you went to the new members class, and even in Sunday school, they taught you the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to go from give us this day our daily bread. And my title of the sermon is He's Meeting My Needs. He's Meeting My Needs, if you're taking notes. We're living in a day and time where the world seems to have lost its mind. The ones who are supposed to be protecting and serving are killing us like we're being hunted. Schools are closed. Restaurants are closed down. People are losing their homes. People are losing their jobs. The economy is at a crisis. It's a coin shortage. You can't even go to the gas station to get change for a dollar. It's hard to even buy a 25-cent pack of nylators. It's hard to get change. Lady Corona has hit the shores of our country and pretty much made herself at home. And lives are being snatched left and right. The coronavirus has taken a lot of lives. Cancer is taking lives. People are leaving this world like that. Here today, gone tomorrow. Our president is who he is. Our president is who he is and who he's not. But in spite of all, in spite of everything that's going wrong, in spite of the economy being the way it is, in spite of jobs being lost, God is still God. And since we know that, since we know that point, that God is still God, we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. God is still on the throne. Jesus bled and died for our sins. He rose on that third day, and the blood still works. So as long as we know that God is good and the blood still works, we should have nothing to worry about. If you could just take a moment to think about just one thing, take one thing in your mind that God has done for you, whether it's in the distant past or just on yesterday. If you take that time to think about that one thing and then thank God for it, that should cause a domino effect of memories that hit your mind, of thoughts that come to mind about the time where God has brought you out and brought you through out of a way that it seemed like it was no way. He's opened doors where it seemed like you're in front of a brick wall, and he literally cracked that wall and gave you room to move and gave you room to progress. All you need is one thought to keep in mind that God is still God. God is never going to change. His word stays the same from the beginning to the end. He's Alpha and Omega. He knows all. He sees all. So even if you don't see it, even if you don't understand it, just know that God, he is meeting your needs. Not he's just met your needs, Not he's going to meet your needs, but right now, as you're sitting at home, driving in your car, he is meeting your needs. And I'm going to give you my take-home point in one sentence. I was taught in school that, you know, you got, if you could wrap up your title in one sentence, that's good. So no matter what circumstances we may face in our lives, God still supplies. Period, point blank. If you're taking notes, no matter what circumstances we may face in our lives, God still supplies. So in this teaching in Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 6. But before that, chapter 3, Jesus has just gotten baptized. God confirmed and affirmed who Jesus was. This is my son who I am well pleased. In chapter 4 of Matthew, he goes and he goes on a fast and he's tempted by the devil. So then in chapter 5, he's on the mount, and we get to chapter 6. These are his teachings. So we know that God has established him already. We know that he's already prepared with going through the wilderness and being tempted by the devil, and now he's teaching. So he's already equipped to tell us how to pray, what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And these are his teachings, and this is one of the ones that is very common. Like I said, we've known it for years. And so give us this day our daily bread. We're going to break that down. The word give, it's a Hebrew word, and it has many translations, but I took a few Hebrew definitions from it. One of the ones I took from it was establish. Another one I took from it was he's a cosigner. Those are two definitions that I took from the word give. And we have to understand that God is our ultimate supply. Not only do I have nothing without him, but I am nothing without him. And you have to absolutely keep that in your mind and keep that at heart, that without God giving you anything, you are nothing. I don't care what job you have. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care what school you've been to, what seminary you've been to. If you have a master's in 8 different things, without God supplying those opportunities, without God supplying that job, we, a lot of times we rely on our resources instead of the source. We rely on what we have instead of who has it and who gave it to us. We have to understand that without God, we are absolutely nothing. God gives us everything. He supplies us everything. He establishes everything in our lives. He co-signs everything in our lives. You know, if you got bad credit or your credit is a little shaky, you know, you go to the car dealership and, you know, you sign on the dotted line. They say, hey, do you have a co-signer, somebody who has a greater credit score than you? But that's just like us in life. When we go to apply for things of life, when we go to just apply ourselves to things of life that we want to do in life, we still have to have a co-signer. If God doesn't co-sign, it's not happening. Like I said, you can have everything in the world stacked up. Your savings are great. Your job is great. Your wife is great. Your kids are doing great. But without God co-signing, you're nothing. A few scriptures to back it up. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. You can't even try to do anything without asking God first. Without asking God first, you might as well just ixnay on that whole entire plan. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father in heaven give good gifts to you who ask him? So if I can give my daughter, after she's done something she's not supposed to, or just ran through the house and knocked something down, if she can still come to daddy in 5 minutes and say, daddy, can I have some ice cream? And I could give her some ice cream just with my compassionate heart as a father, how much more will God give to us? Think about that. All the things that we have done, all the things that we have done on accident and done purposely. We have done some things, all of us on this Zoom and on Facebook have done things that we are not proud of, that God is not pleased with, and that he did not approve of, but yet and still we're here today on this Zoom. We're here with breath in our bodies. We're in our homes. We're comfortable. Nobody, I don't see any hospital beds on these screens. Nobody's in the hospital. Nobody is, we may have some corona survivors, but you guys are healthy. God has given you health. He has given you wealth. And it's only by the grace of God that we have these things. You know, we're great parents. And like I said, we give our kids things that they don't deserve. I know myself, I used to get in trouble every 5 weeks during report card time. When a report card would come out, you know, I may have had a C or a few U's on my report card. And my dad still fed me. My mom still fed me. They still clothed me. You know, I may have gotten to talk to or a little stern look at or something like that. May have been on punishment, but they still provided my needs, is what I'm saying. In spite of what I've done, they still provided my needs. And that's just how God is. Another scripture that you can take home with you is Philippians 4:19. But God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You're not richer than God. You, no matter how much money you try to make, I know the owner of Amazon is worth over $200 billion now, but God's still supplying his needs. You know what I'm saying? Tyler Perry is now worth $1 billion plus, but God still is supplying his needs. So God is a giver. He's a provider. Without him, we have nothing. I want to move further on in the scripture, and it says, give us this day. Before I get to this day, I want to hit us real quick. A lot of times as Christians, we pray for ourselves. We pray, God, give me this. God, I need this. God, I need the home. God, heal my body. God, heal my family. God, touch my children. But it says, give us this day. I would imply that, and the scripture implies that we're not just supposed to be praying for ourselves in our everyday prayer life. You're as Christians, as believers, we should be praying for others every single day. I know we have our own needs. I know we have our own desires and we want God to do it for us. But when you can be selfless and not selfish and literally go to God on somebody else's behalf, God will answer your prayer. I'm a witness. God will answer your prayer even faster, even quicker. And it puts you in a state of being humble. God, I know I need this. And I know it takes you out of the hater category. If you understand what I'm saying, it takes you out of the jealousy and envy category when you can set aside your needs, your daily needs, and pray for somebody else. That's the Christian thing to do. We're here on this earth to help others. We're here on this earth to spread the good news to others, so to help them come to Christ. We've accepted God in our lives. We know who he is. He's our Father. He's our supplier, as we just said. But there are others that may not know that, and it is our job to pray for them daily, to reach out to them daily, and to help them daily as we go to God for ourselves. So that was just a plug. I didn't even have notes on that, but that was just us. All of us, let us help each other and pray for one another daily. This day, I read, and this God is very specific. He is very specific in when you approach him. I know when I was taught to pray, we learned the Acts prayer, acknowledge, confess, thank, and supplication. You know, it's specific way that you ought to pray in a specific way that you go to God. And God is very specific when he meets our needs. He's very specific. God will bless you and tell you exactly how to manage that blessing. It is up to us to obey. So obedience and his structure are key to our relationship with God, because God is very specific. Matthew 6:4 says, give your attention to what God is doing right now. This is the Message version. Give your attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Other words, in other translations, tomorrow brings its own struggles. Tomorrow brings its own worries. Tomorrow brings its own stresses. So today, let's focus on today. What do you need from God at this very moment? Not talking about tomorrow. If your bills are due on Monday and you don't have the money for it, I need God to give me the peace of mind that I can trust in you, that you're going to supply for my tomorrow. You may not get the check in the mail. The mail doesn't run on Sundays. I'm sorry. It's no check coming in the mail on Sunday, unless you forgot to check it on Saturday. It's not there right now. But being specific about this day, it's stuff I need to do today to get me closer to God for tomorrow. It's stuff that God is telling me to do today that is going to secure my tomorrow. Yesterday is already gone. January is already passed. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August is gone. It is now September, and today is what it is. What do I need from God today? What is it that you need from God today? Do you need peace? Do you need understanding? Do you need joy? Do you need just a little bit more strength? What do you need for? What do you need to sustain you for today? Tomorrow's going to bring its own worries. It's going to bring its own troubles. He's going to, the devil's going to attack tomorrow, but he's attacking right now. I can't focus on tomorrow if I can't get through today. So I charge you and I petition to you to pray like you're supposed to pray. God, today, I just need a little bit. I just need some peace. You know what I'm coming up with for this job. You know, they haven't called me back and I'm waiting for them to call me back. But I need you to help me with my anxiety on today. I need you to give me what I need just on today. In Exodus 16, this is when the children of Israel, they've already left from under Pharaoh. He already let them go. And they got to the specific place and they start complaining. They start complaining in Exodus. And they're talking to Moses, and they're like, Moses, man, we're hungry, we're starving, bro. In Egypt, we was cool, we were fine over there, man. We ate meat and bread every single day, man. We had water. I know they beat us. I know they tore us up, and we were slaves. But over there, man, we had ribs, we had brisket, we had everything, man. We hungry. Where food at? That's they're at talking to Moses like, yo, what we gonna eat? I know my. I just do this to my mom. You know, I get home from school and my dad, I'm like, hey, what's for dinner? It's 4:00. You know, I just ate lunch. I just ate lunch not too long ago. And I need a snack or something, you know? So in Exodus, the children, they're complaining to Moses and Moses goes to God. And God says, this is Exodus 16:4-5. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. God was very specific in what he told them to get. He didn't say, all right, I'm about to rain bread. Y'all go out and have at it. Get as much as you want. Go ahead and grab it. Store some up. Get some for Pookie and Ray Ray and them. You can trade it for money. You can trade it for some shoes. If you need some new sandals, take this bread. No, he said, look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to rain down bread. I'm going to give you what you need, but you only need this much. A lot of times we go to God and we ask for too much at the wrong time, knowing good and well we can't even handle the little bit that he already gives us. We can't even manage the small portions and the blessings that he already has for us. We're not good stewards over what we have. And we want all of this. We want a mansion. We want 12 cars. We want all of this. We want a house on the hill. You can't even handle your back house in Compton. You can't even handle that. But God, as he told him, I need you to take this for this day. And it's not just because God is selfish. God is an abundant God. He's a blesser. We just found out that he's a giver. But it's not just because he wants to withhold, but it's to test you. What will you do with this? What will you do with this that I'm telling you to gather? How would you spread it amongst yourself for your camp, for your tent? How would you handle your 10%? I'm giving you this money. Are you paying your tithes? Are you paying your tithes to your church? Are you giving? Are you helping the homeless that need help when you're passing them in the street? And I know it happens to me. I'll be driving through a drive-through and I'll see a person in need. And I'm like, nah, okay. You know, we judge. I'm not the only one. You can raise your hand and say, you know, they not hungry. They don't want no food. They just want to get something to drink. He just wants some Jameson, or she just wants some, you know, some cognac or something. Nah. I'll pass them by and I'll make that U-turn. How many of us have made that U-turn to go back and help that person in need? And that's what God is asking. What are you doing with what I'm giving you today? Why are you trying to store up? Why are you trying to get all of this and acquire all of this, what are you doing for this day? It's to test you. God will give you something exactly what you asked for. And not only, and let me sidetrack real quick. The people were complaining. They weren't even coming to Moses like, God brought us out. I know he's going to give us food. I know he's going to bless. No, they were like, look, bro, it's hot and we hungry. What you going to do about it? It's crazy how God will bless you even when you're complaining. Even when you're not grateful. Even when you're not thankful and appreciative of what he's already done. I just brought y'all out, right? I just brought you out and you're complaining? That's why I said in the beginning, take a moment to think. Take a moment to think about that one blessing that God did for you, and it should cause a chain reaction. You know what I'm saying? The truth is they were making bricks without straw. Huh? He was already supplying what they needed, even though they were in bondage. He brought them out, and now y'all still complaining? You know what? I'm still God. I'm still the supplier. So let me let y'all know that since I'm still the ultimate supplier, I'm still the ultimate cosigner, I'm going to rain down some bread. Here you go. Here's your bread. That's what you need for the day. Just take what you need because I'm testing you. And like I said, tomorrow will bring its own troubles. So if you can take anything away from that, be obedient with what God gives you. Be good stewards over what he's already blessed you with for today. While you have, my pastor says, the former pastor, Bishop Anthony P.G. Sr., they say it all the time before church is over, before we end a Zoom or meeting, the best time you have is the time you have. The best time you have is the time you have. While you're at home sitting with your loved ones, when we get off this Zoom, give them a hug. Tell them you love them. The best time, appreciate what you have while you have it. If you feel what I'm saying, everybody understand what I'm saying? Appreciate it. Don't take it for granted. The small things. You put on your shoes by yourself. You went and brushed your own teeth. You're not sitting up in a hospital bed waiting for a nurse to come give you a meal. You can walk to your own kitchen and make your own sandwich. You know, you can do things for yourself that God has given you. So appreciate what you have. Appreciate what he's already given you. And speaking of your needs and what he's giving you, we're going to go to bread. Now, we talked about the children of Israel, how he gave them bread. Literally, he gave them bread. He fed them. But in this text, give us this day our daily bread, I'm not limiting it, and I don't believe that Matthew limited it to just bread. I don't think he was just talking about a sandwich. Give us this day our daily sandwich. No. Give us this day our daily mac and cheese. No. He was saying, Jesus was telling them, give us this day, or how to pray, give us this day our daily bread, meaning whatever I need today, God, I need peace today. I'm dealing with a situation and it's hard for me. I don't really see a way out. So God, I need you to give me peace. I need you to give me understanding. I need you to give me strength. I need you to be my joy. I need you to wipe away my tears. I need you to give me a hug because I feel lonely. I need your comfort. God, I need you, period. Whatever your bread is, everybody has different bread. Speaking of bread, there are hundreds of different types of bread. You got your wheat bread, you got your white, you got your whole grain, you got your multigrain, the one with the nuts in it that you got to get out your teeth after you eat your sandwich. And then all those types of breads have, Winko has a bread. Ralph's has a bread. Food for Less has their own bread. Bimbo has a bread. Sara Lee has a bread. All these types of different breads. It's different breads for everybody. And I just say that to say everybody on this Zoom, everybody on Facebook Live, everybody in this world has a different bread, has a different need from God. We all need something different, even in this whole corona pandemic. Yeah, we all need protection. We all need protection and good health. But somebody has lost a job. Somebody else still has a job. They need a job. They need financial stability. Somebody may have just had financial stability. God, I need you to help me manage what I have. I need you to be my money management. I need you to give me the mindset on what I need to do to handle this blessing. somebody could have just lost a family member. God, I need you to be a comforter. God, I'm hurt right now. My heart is heavy. God, I need you to be a burden bearer. I need you to be a doctor in the sick room, a lawyer in the courtroom. I need you to be a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. We all have different breads that we need from God. Like I said, in chapter four of Matthew, Jesus was just fasted. He went into the wilderness, and the devil was tempting him. And Matthew 4 said, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You can't get what you need. You can't get your daily bread unless you put your faith in his word. God's word should be your daily bread every single day. Outside of your physical, mental, and emotional needs, you need to dive into his word. You need to be eating on the words of God each and every day. All of us have a cell phone. I know all of you guys may have a cell phone or a computer that you're on right now. And if we have technology, there are Bible apps you can get that will send you a daily verse or a daily scripture. There is no excuse, no excuse for us as believers to not dive in his word and give God some time out of our day. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to me, to Sam Champ personally. I'm speaking to myself and giving God time and setting out and setting aside time to dive in his word. We all need that. Regardless of what we need physically, mentally, emotionally, we need to feed our spirits. We need to feed our inner man. We need to feed our soul, or we're not going to be any good for the kingdom, period, point blank. Psalms 27 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? God, I need you to be my strength. I need you to be my shield. I'm going into war. I need you to protect me. Psalms 121 and 2 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is your help. He's your very present help in the time of trouble. Right now, for this day, like we said, he's your supplier. He gives you what you need for the day. And what do you need for the day? God, I need you. I need your help. I need your help. Above anything right now, God, I need your help. Genesis 9:1-9:3 says, every morning, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I have given you the green plants, I give you everything. When he was talking to Adam and Eve, he supplied their needs. And they didn't even have to ask for it. God supplied Adam and Eve's needs, and they didn't even have to ask. He supplied every animal, every plant, every fruit, everything that they would need. So that, in essence, God already knows what you need before you even ask. But you still have to go to him. You still have to dive into his word. You still have to make some effort. All I'm saying is make the effort to dive into him and get into his word. And that's pretty much my time. But I'm going to conclude with God is the ultimate giver. He's the ultimate supplier. He will give us what we need for today. He would give us our daily bread. Outside of that prayer and actually still being inside and keeping the same mindset and thought, Mark 15:37 says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. God gave us everything we need when his son Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He gave us absolutely every single thing that we need, and that is salvation. That is to be saved. That is to come into the family of Jesus Christ, to be saved, to be blood washed, to be forgiven of our sins. He gave up the ghost. They didn't take it. They didn't take Jesus' life. They may have whipped him. They may have put thorns on his head. They may have nailed his hands and his feet. They may have spit on him. They beat him. They mocked him. They scandalized his name. He was betrayed by his own homies. He went from courtroom to judgment hall. They judged him. They hung him high, stretched him wide. They did all of that, and he still had the choice to give up his life. They didn't take it from him. He gave it to us, and that is the ultimate gift that we need for our everyday living. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That is our daily bread every single day. If you I don't know how you can, but I'm just going to say it. If you can go throughout your day and say, man, God didn't give me nothing today. One thing he did give you, he gave you his son. He gave up the ghost, and that blood that was shed on Calvary, that ran down his face, down his body, is the same blood that's covering you and washing you each and every day in your sin, in your mess, in your guilt, in your complaining, in your messed up attitude, in your ungratefulness, in your unforgiving attitude, in your jealous spirit, in your haughtiness, in your with your lying self, with your messed up, jacked up, filthy rag self. The blood is still washing over you. The blood is still cleansing you, and it still works, period, point blank. If you can't pray, if you're having a hard day, God, thank you for the blood. Just thank him for the blood. That's it. I bills still ain't paid. My back still hurt. I got a hangnail and I got a sore tooth. God, thank you for the blood. My kids is going crazy. I still can't get changed for a dollar. Gas prices is going up. They finally stopped buying all the toilet tissue. Thank you for the blood. Everything can be going wrong in your life, and you may not feel like praying. As Christians, we don't always feel like it sometimes. That's just the God honest truth. That's just the truth. We don't always feel like it. Christianity is not just something you feel. It's a choice. It's not just something you feel like doing. It's a choice that you make every single day. Just like he chose to give up the ghost, you got to choose to take this walk. You got to choose to make that step. God is not going to force you to do nothing. But if you could just think back on the blood, think back on Calvary and him getting up on that third day with all power in his hands, all power to meet your needs, all power to heal your body, all power to make you better, all power to make you whole, all power to give you another day to say thank you. God, give us this day our daily bread. And if you can just take that with you every single day for the rest of your life, no matter what you're going through, I believe that you can definitely make it through. And there may be somebody on here that doesn't know him for themselves. There may be somebody on here that is haven't fully accepted Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you the opportunity now, if you say the sinner's prayer with me, anybody all over, whether you're watching this later, whether you're watching this right now, whatever time you have and you haven't accepted God as your personal savior, right now is the perfect time. Right now is the perfect time to give your life over to Christ. So you can say it with me, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And if you